I'm glad you told us where we were, because I was considering pressing charges for you just taking me. But no, believe it or not, we do live outside of the Mars Hill studio. And
yes.
And that's one of the things we like. We like getting out into the community, and we like interviewing people who are making a difference in their community for the cause of Jesus.
And God's been showing that every day as I get to talk with people, and I get to hear about their background, where they're from, and all these things, all these interesting facets about these people. Like,
yeah,
do I really love and care for these people as much as I'm called to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a really good
question.
That's
a great question.
Because, I mean, that's what I've used to help minister to people so mm-hmm. much is I was so lost and didn't know where I wanted to be not long ago, 2.5-3 years ago. Yeah. That I lived 18 years of my life without, like, knowing how good God could treat you, how mm-hmm. how much he could do for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Max Impact here on the Mars Hill Network, where we look to make a maximum impact for the kingdom of God. Those who are joining us on video, you may notice we're not in the Mars Hill Network studio. We've switched up the location for this podcast, actually here at Syracuse University in Newhouse. We're in the Startup Garage. This is a place that when I was a graduate student, I hung out a lot in, and it's just a wonderful opportunity. We get to be here on the campus today because we are talking about campus ministry at Syracuse University. So I have some guests here with me. And Xander, do you want to introduce our guests? We have
Cesar and Isaiah here with us from Go Now. Teddy, do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
So I met Cesar and Isaiah. I met you guys on the Syracuse campus. You work under Devin Bartholomew for the summer, just as interns, doing some outreach with Christian Outreach. And tell us a little bit more about Go Now, because you guys are coming from Texas, right? So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we're coming from Texas. We're not from the same spot, same universities, but we're college students coming from Texas. We have our own Christian outreach communities back at our universities called Baptist Student Ministries. And through that, we're sent through an organization called Go Now, which just gives college students an opportunity to find what their spiritual gifts are and to go out and use them amongst the nations. There's over 200 people that are, 200 college students that are out serving the nation this summer through Go Now. And it's just an amazing opportunity to find where God needs you and where he wants you to be.
Mm. Really nice. Really nice. And we're so glad to have you guys here. Thank you for sharing that. It's a little different today. I mean, we're holding the mics. It's not in a radio studio, but
I'm glad you told us where we were, because I was considering pressing charges for you just taking me. But no, believe it or not, we do live outside of the Mars Hill studio. And
yes.
And that's one of the things we like. We like getting out into the community, and we like interviewing people who are making a difference in their community for the cause of Jesus. And I'm really excited to be sitting here today.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about campus ministry before on the podcast, but this is new because, you know, we're here on the campus where the ministry is taking place, but we're also talking with Cesar and Isaiah, who are not originally from Syracuse, or I should say Syracuse is not their home base. It's rather Texas. So I wanted to ask you guys, Cesar, we'll start with you, my man. How did you get involved in campus ministry in the first place?
Thanks, Teddy. I just wanted to, like, so I got started in campus ministry by actually at the college I'm at. So I go to Sul Ross State University, go Lobos. And I gave my life to Christ through them. We have a Baptist student ministry there on campus. And so because of that, I actually gave my life to Christ. And through that, I just started growing in my faith more and more. And as I started growing in my faith more and more, God started calling me to minister to people. I would go on a mission trip, like literally a couple months after I gave my life to Christ. And ever since then, I was like, I'm here to serve others. Like, that's my purpose. And so because of that, I got the opportunity to do Go Now missions last summer, actually, and skipped out on it and went about the summer kind of like, when am I doing the summer? And kind of realized, I was like, oh God, you were calling me to like do ministry in the summer. Yeah. And so when this summer came around, I was like, absolutely sign me up. God, have my summer. Like, what do you need me to do? And so that's how I ended up here at Syracuse.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Cesar. And how about you, Isaiah?
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Cesar's story. I mean, I came into college atheist, agnostic. I was very skeptic. Just why do people believe in this higher being of God whenever there's so many bad things happening in the world? But I truly realized the goodness through friends who were sharing with me on a weekly basis. My buddy Seth, I thank him so much because he saved my life. I mean, he brought me to to Christ. He helped me figure out that's what I needed. And just every week he would share his faith with me, how it was helping him. Of course, I was very much denying it. I would always be like, I believe in myself, not God, which is, it's such a, selfish thing to say. And there was just one week, I mean, I hit rock bottom. It was bad. I failed almost every class my first semester in college.
Whoa.
And there was one class I was passing, and it was because I had Seth in there to encourage me every single time we had class. And then there was just one day, I realized, man, all these people that, they weren't being all that nice to me. They weren't my real friends. It was the one guy that had Jesus and God in his life that he was the one that was fueling me to get through things. So then I realized, I was like, maybe I should listen to what he has to say. And then that's whenever he invited me to go to the BSM. We have a weekly worship, and I went with him, and it was there that I realized maybe this is kind of what I needed. And we went through the weekly worship. We went through Acts, just talks about Paul's impactful story of how he went from being the biggest denouncer of people that loved God to being the one that shared it to others. So I realized maybe God can help me like he helped Paul. So then that night in my dorm room, I was just looking up at the ceiling, and I was like, you know what, God? Yeah, I believe. I believe. I became a believer that day, that night in my dorm bed. And then from then on, I just kept going to the BSM every week, the Baptist Student Ministry every week. I was there just doing as much as I could. And I mean, I grew over time to become a leader there, help with the hospitality, help with just more things that I felt God was calling me towards. And now I'm here. I mean, we're here in Syracuse. I felt called to go on mission. I decided I wanted to go into ministry because the Lord tells me hey, you need to express how much you love the Lord because you were in the state that, you didn't know that you needed that. So you need to help others that are in that state. So now I'm here in Syracuse, New York. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier that I decided to get more involved in campus ministry.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, you guys. That's really powerful. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about next is, you have some ministry experience in Texas, perhaps on campus, and now here in Syracuse, you're getting a much different experience. So I just was curious, what's your experience been like with campus ministry in Texas? And also, what's it been like here at SU?
For sure. I think campus ministry in Texas is for sure different than campus ministry in a place like Syracuse. Just kind of one specific thing, I kind of noticed a lot of people, or at least in, go to college in Texas, or grew up in Texas and end up going to college in Texas, they kind of assume they're Christian. They assume they are already religious. They assume they're Catholic. They assume, they're this. So either because of their family or because of where they grew up, they're just like, oh yeah, I'm this, But then you explain to them, do you understand what you believe? And they're no, I didn't know what you're talking about. I've never heard these things. I've never heard the gospel. I've never heard these things that are essential to their faith. But because of where they're from, they're just like, yeah, that's kind of what I believe.
Yeah, no, that was the exact question I was going to ask you, because I think we get the conception sometimes that ministry in a very culturally Christian place, to us, in a more liberal climate here in New York, we get the idea that maybe down south it's easier to minister. But I wondered sometimes if it's actually harder in a way because of that very issue where, you have people that already assume they're saved, and you have to kind of unravel this preconception that they have.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Do you have a similar experience like that, Isaiah?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Syracuse is not rural Texas where I'm from. That's obvious. But I've been really just intrigued by the amount of international students here. I don't have that back home. I think I've talked to more international students here in my 2 months that I've been here than my whole 21-year life back home. And that's just been really cool to understand culture, where people are coming from, understand how what would they need as like compared to like back home. Whenever I just all I see is cowboy boots and cowboy hat, like that's that culture back there. Is you know, we have the cow towns, the people are, you know, I know what to pray for over there because I've lived there my whole life. But here people have a different aspect of what they need, like what they're longing for, and that's been really really cool to see just the culture change. I mean, I'm still in America. I'm not in a different country.
Yeah,
but it feels like I'm in a completely different place ever since I've come here from Texas, and it's been really really cool to see and just to adjust, because you know it's an adjustment, but I've really really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's probably a little cooler here in Syracuse this summer.
I mean maybe not these Texas past couple weeks, but like
exactly.
Rain in the summer has been really cool. I mean, it's actually been raining a lot back home, surprisingly.
Oh, but, wow.
Really just it's 80 outside, which is crazy to me, and as opposed to the triple digit heat, zero humidity, like you go outside.
Oh, that's
like,
true.
Yeah, you feel like you're cooking like a piece of bacon outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You cook an egg on the sidewalk if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's just not here. I mean, out here, there's clouds.
Yeah.
And it's raining, and that's pretty cool. I mean, you don't get that.
Our boss went to Dallas Theological Seminary, and he's got a lot of Texas heat stories.
Yeah. Oh, so yes.
It gets rough, especially in August, which is kind of sad because, you know, we're going back to August heat after being here for this the lovely June and July where it's like, oh, there's like a breeze. It's 70, 80, which, it's humid, but I'll take some humid like heat over like it's 107 and there's zero humidity and I'm burning as I step outside.
Yeah. No, I got to get used to the triple digit heat because I am planning on making more trips into the southern climate. Mm-hmm. So, but two things I wanted to mention, based on what you said, Isaiah. One, I totally get you on the international community here. I've lived in Syracuse my entire life and didn't realize how many international people were here until I got connected to my church, which is mainly international. And that church, though I wasn't Christian at the time I went there the first time, was instrumental when I came to know the Lord in England because it was an international guy. There in England that brought me to know the Lord.
Wow.
And the second thing is, it's really nice to like see different people from different backgrounds and cultures and talk to them. It's just a really rich experience. Second thing I would say is how you feel coming here from Texas to Syracuse. I've never been to Texas. I'd probably feel the exact same way going from Syracuse to Texas, where it would just be a much like a culture shock to me because I haven't ever experienced anything like that. So, you know, I am curious though, because like it is a culture shock perhaps for both of you. And Xander, please chime in when I ask this question. You know, this is a different experience, but it's one that's probably grown you in newer ways. So I wanted to ask you how your experience here in Syracuse at SU serving has really grown you and shaped you. What are some of the lessons you've taken away from that?
I think for sure, like over the summer, what I've for sure been learning, and this is something God's like directly been teaching me, like just like every day, it shows up every day. It's like, how much do I really love others? Like, do I really love others? Like, and so when it comes to like interacting with people and like building relationships with people, like, do you have genuine love for someone else? Like as Jesus calls us, like love others as yourself. Like, do you genuinely love these people to like keep up with them, like keep up with them and be interested in all the things that they got going on? Like what I've been noticing is like a lot of relational building on campus. And so because of that, it shows like up in your heart, like how much do I care for these people and love for these people?
Yeah.
And God's been showing that every day as I get to talk with people and I get to hear about their background, where they're from, and all these things, all these interesting facets about these people. Like, do I really love and care for these people as much as I'm called to be?
Mm.
And so God challenges me every day whenever I get to meet people. Like, love these people, like love them as yourself.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And, you know, I totally agree. You know, I think for me, it can be tough sometimes, not because I don't love people, but there's a lot of people to love. So you can't give the time you want to every single person. I find myself maybe overextending myself trying to reach people, and then some people I don't get back to, don't give enough attention, and then it's like, do they feel like I don't love them? It's like, no, I do love them, but maybe they're not seeing it because I'm not getting back to them. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Xander.
Yeah, no, it's just really cool to listen to you guys like talk about, you know, like where you go into campus ministry and you're really convicted, like, do you truly like love somebody? And because I think sometimes in our in our ministry. And typically, I think it's people from here ministering to here. I think sometimes we can be so fed up with the inconveniences and the difficulties mm-hmm. of ministering to this area that we forget that, and we don't ask ourselves that. And we just want to go in and fix everything, and we want to, you know, flip the switch and make everybody, you know, be mature Christians overnight, you know, and wouldn't that be wonderful, you know, like to be able to do that. But I think it's so cool to hear you guys really stop and like ask yourself, like, am I loving people the way they should? Isaiah, I had a question for you specifically. Yeah. So you came into college, you said atheist, agnostic, like you're wondering, and then you came to Christ. How has the knowledge like of that, like how has your memory of that, your experience of that shaped how you minister to people?
Yeah, that's actually like, really good.
That's
question,
a great question.
Because, I mean, that's what I've used to help minister to people so much is I was so lost and didn't know where I wanted to be not long ago, 2.5, 3 years ago. Yeah. That I lived 18 years of my life without like knowing how good God could treat you, how much he could do for you. And it's been really awesome to use that in ministry because people all the time, their biggest question, well, their biggest reason they don't want a like religious like figure like God in their life is because, well, bad things in my life have happened. Bad things are always going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
That's, I mean, it's that problem of evil. Like if we have such a good, gracious God, why do bad things happen?
Yeah.
But you know, we've all experienced our battles with, you know, darkness, but it's that Psalm 23, even in the darkest valleys, I'll walk beside you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't promise that we won't go through troubles, but he does promise that he'll walk along the side of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my biggest thing to help other people is like, yes, times are hard, but we have a good God that walks along with us in the times that are hard. I mean, one of my favorite things I was told by a mentor back home is, you know, God throws these struggles and challenges at you because he throws these things at his strongest soldiers because he knows they can make it through the other end. Yeah. Wow. And I truly believe that's for reason. And, you know, a lot of people, that's the reason they don't choose to make that jump, that leap to have a relationship with Christ. And it's hard. I mean, counting the cost, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
And we all still count the cost even after we, you know, come to know him. Yeah. But it's been great to understand that at a higher level because their Christian bubble is a real thing. Like some people that have raised their whole life in like a Christian community, it can be hard, you know, it's great, but they struggle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just understanding like, hey, we need to appreciate everybody's walk and we can help each other through that.
Yeah.
And I think bringing a new perspective of somebody that has come to Christ sooner has been really helpful. Especially in a place that can be hard, like Syracuse or even in Texas, it's got its own difficulties. So.
Yeah, you said exactly the thing I was going to say, you know, where I feel like sometimes people that, you know, there are people that have a real zeal for ministry and I appreciate that, but they kind of grew up, you know, like you said, in this very Christian bubble, you know, where they have an idea of like what it's like on the outside, but they don't have like an intimate idea of what it's like on the outside. My story is pretty similar. I was, you know, I was kind of, you know, floating around different worldviews in my late teens, early 20s until I came to know the Lord in 2021. Yeah. And I really wanted to, like, part of the reason why I really wanted to do this podcast, why eventually, you know, Teddy came to me with this idea of the podcast and I joined on, is because I wanted to help people that were in a similar situation to me that I didn't feel like were being adequately ministered to by people that thought they understood them but didn't. Mm. And I really wanted to, you know, like help people understand and kind of bridge the gap between, you know, taking that leap of faith and placing their trust in Christ and where they were currently.
Yeah.
And so it's really encouraging to see you guys taking a very, very compassionate approach to ministry.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And one thing you said, Isaiah, that just resonates with me is like people who are like, okay, if we have such a good God, why is there suffering in this world? Like I've been ministering to one student here at the university who will go unnamed, who that's like his big thing about his step, where it's just like, oh my gosh, like, that is one of the hardest things to minister to somebody through. But you having a personal experience like that is such a great way to reach somebody. Yeah. So just before we wrap up, guys, just another like question I had for you. You know, and this maybe is an extension of the third question, like how you've been growing and how this experience has helped grow you. But like if somebody has interest in doing something similar to what you guys are doing or just getting involved on serving on their campus, what would you guys say to them based on your experience, based on the growth you've even had here at SU? We'll go Cesar and then Isaiah.
I'd say obviously, you know the place that you're at. Know the place where you're at, not just physically, like, okay, I'm close to this campus, this is where I go to school. Let me look for, you know, the organizations that are on my campus. Mm-hmm. You know, and start to actually look for those things. Not only just seek them out, but be involved, like be a part of the body of Christ in those places, not just, you know, like, oh, I just want to serve, I just want to do community service, let me just find a bridge to do that. No, go get involved with the body of Christ. Go worship God with these people. Go build fellowship and connect with these people. So mostly like knowing where you're at physically, in the space that you're in, but also know where you're at spiritually.
Yeah.
Assess that your heart's right, because if your heart's not in the right place to do something, like if you're just looking for I'm just looking for a way to get community service hours, I'm just looking for a way to get this, I'm looking for a way to get something in my life.
Yeah.
God will show you and take you out of those places if your heart's not in the right place to do them.
Amen.
So know where you're at spiritually, where your heart's behind it. But once you know where your heart's at, and not even if you know where your heart's at, because sometimes God will show you by you doing these things, he'll show you where your heart's at. He'll show you how much you love people.
Mm.
And so go get involved in the body of Christ. Like go find those places that are near to you. Mm. And go get involved before you serve.
Mm. Amen. That's really important. Like, yes, we want to serve, but being ready to serve. And there's a lot of people who get into service and they're not ready to serve. So I agree with everything you said wholeheartedly. And Isaiah, how about you, my man?
Yeah, for me, it comes down to three big things. The first thing is it's that Isaiah 7 mentality to surround yourself around like-minded believers.
Yeah.
You got to find that community that's going to keep you accountable. Because doing it by yourself, you can, but why would you whenever you have so many other people?
Yeah.
So whether it's a church like group that you're a part of, whether it's a college ministry, high school ministry, just find the group of believers that's going to help you walk with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is use what you know. Not all of us are going to be theologists that know the Bible front to back.
Yeah.
But maybe you know one story that connects with your life really, really well.
Yeah.
Use that to share to people. Just because you don't know everything that's in the Bible doesn't mean you can't preach it to other people. Mm-hmm. And that third big thing is the Exodus 4, Moses, is no matter how like inadequate we are, God will use you. He'll give you the words. That's always how it is. I mean, Moses told God, God literally told him, you will lead my people to the promised land. I know that. I that's your plan. That's what the plan I gave you. But Moses' first response is, no, I can't do that. I'm not inadequate. My tongue is sluggish. I can't speak very well.
Mm.
He literally says, send someone else. But God didn't have that for him. His plan was to do that. And he ended up leading the Israelites out of slavery into the promised land. And it's just trust God. He has the right plan. And he'll give you the words whenever you don't have them.
Mm.
That's that big last one, because we often, our self-doubt is what brings us back from trying to get involved. But just go for it, because God's got you.
Mm. Amen. That's really beautiful. Xander, your takeaway from the episode before we wrap up.
Like everything I said before, just really great words of encouragement to people like looking to start. You know, just really, you know, just leaning on the Lord for everything you do in ministry. I think it's so important. And, you know, like I'm just going to, like say the things I've already said before. It's just really encouraging to watch you minister from such a intimate and compassionate approach, and really just, you know, not trusting in yourselves but trusting in God. I really appreciate what you two are doing.
Yes, and I appreciate it. We appreciate it very, very much. And my quick takeaway is really checking your heart to see if you're truly loving like Jesus did. The Bible says if we love God, we obey him. So we need to know his word and be obedient. And Jesus was obedient to God in everything he did, the Father. And we see that he was the perfect example of love. So we really have to do that. And just, if you want to learn more about love, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, that will help a lot too. And maybe, Xander, that's a future episode for us to talk about, is really what love is. Because it gets misconstrued a lot, even in the church. So we're so glad that you guys came here to New House. This is a little new for us, you know, being outside of the studio. perhaps as we continue talking about ministry on the campus, whether here or other college campuses, you'll see us in different places. You will see us back in the Marshall Network studio at some point, though. So again, from Xander Deakins and also our guests, I forgot your last names before, but Isaiah Nunez, Nanez. Oh, okay, I didn't remember. And Cesar Garza. All right, I got that right. So from Xander Deakins, Isaiah Nanez, Cesar Garza, I am Teddy Caputo. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Max Impact, where we look to make a maximum impact for the kingdom of God. God bless you all.